102.3 WBAB, Long Island's only classic rock. Roger and JP. It's 718, partly sunny, 87 today. All right, Ted Nugent's on the line. Guitar hero. Oh, man. How many decades of rocking his Jones Beach? Plays it almost every summer. He's playing Paramount, the Paramount Theater in Huntington on Tuesday, the 23rd. Ted Nugent is on the phone.
Last time we had you on, I was lucky enough to get hunting tips from Uncle Ted Nugent, which I thought was the best.
Aim small, miss small. Sneak up on him and turn him into family-sized Porsche. Drive safely.
I just got into the bow hunting side of things as well.
Boy, the mystical flight of the arrow. Remember, you don't shoot the arrow. You are the arrow.
I am the
These are
arrow.
Good tips for you. Yeah. I like it.
I suck at it, though. You know what it is? I don't get enough time to do it and be more successful.
Well, then your priorities suck.
Yeah, I know. Unfortunately, I got this dumbass job that's got to put food on my kids' table.
Well, it's a special time of year for us. I mean, we tour nonstop all summer. If you check my schedule, yeah. I love these bands that go, well, we can only do 2 concerts, then we need 3 days off. Bunch of wimps. We play like 6 nights a week. Sometimes we go 8, 12, 15 days in a row. And I got a 21-year-old drummer that's an absolute animal from Detroit. His name is Jason Heartless. You keep your eyes on a kid named Jason Heartless. He's going to be like Tommy Clefetos, one of the most desired drummers in the world. The guy is an absolute throbnoxious Motown funk brother animal.
And if you don't know who Tommy...
Throbnoxious is great.
If you don't know who Tommy Clefetos is, Tommy was in Ozzy's solo band. He's been the guy that's been playing with Sabbath. That guy is a beast.
Yeah, well, you know, he's another Detroit guy. Remember the name Johnny Bonanjic, Mitch Ryder, the Detroit Wheels original drummer? He played with me on Shut Up and Jam on my last record. And Johnny and I first opened up at the Walt Lake Casino in 1959 for Martha and the Vandellas and Gene Pitney. I was like 12 years old or something. And the band Mitch Ryder and Detroit Wheels was called Billy Lee and the Rivieras. And what I witnessed from Johnny Bonanjic is a legacy of drumming that every drummer in the world will tell you that Johnny Bonanjic laid down just this unbelievable soulful throttle. And that's what Tommy Clefetos created. And when I baptized him on my Spirit of the Wild tour in 95, he was already a monster. But I really, you know the movie Whiplash where the guy just throws cymbals and chairs at people?
Yeah.
I don't really throw cymbals and chairs at people. But I really demand a James Brown type of groove discipline. And Tommy Clefetos, Tommy Aldridge, Mick Brown, and now Jason Heartless. So you'll hear more about this guy.
Is there a guy that you've played with, like one player that you've played with that you actually felt like was the best at that instrument that you've ever been with?
Well, you know, there really is so many. You achieve a level of 10. When I jammed with John Entwistle, I realized that his musical horizons were limitless. When I jammed with B.B. King, even though you would presume that it was just blues, but his orchestrational adventure within the blues structure was so dynamic. You hear it from Joe Bonamassa, and you'll hear it from Billy Gibbons, you'll hear it from Tommy Shaw, and you'll hear it from Dave Amato with REO Speedway. You'll hear it from Eddie Van Halen. You hear it from Slash all the time. They're all so good, and I've been so blessed. I mean, I played bass guitar, guys, for Chuck Berry and Bo Diddley. Are you kidding me?
What a life.
That'd be like, you know, preparing Lady Di for the paint-on bikini spread. I'll let you mulch on that for a few minutes. But, you know, I've really been to the musical mountaintops. I've jammed with the greatest musicians that have ever lived, and I really absorb their spirit and their authority, and that's what my guys, Greg Smith on bass guitar, Jason Heartless, Tommy Clefetos, Mick Brown all these years, Derek St. Holmes, one of the most amazing guitar players and vocalists in the world. I've really had the best of the best.
We're talking to Ted Nugent, Roger and JP on BAB, just a rock and roller for decades now and a couple generations, and a hunter and a political, I would say opinionist, would you say?
A political hellraiser.
Hellraiser.
Wanted from all of us.
One more thing on the rock and roll stuff. What did you think when the whole AC/DC, Brian Johnson, Axl Rose thing came down?
Well, I got to tell you, when bands like that make such a decision, I just kind of step back and respect it because Angus Young believes that Axl can do what Bon Scott and Brian Johnson did, the I haven't talked to anybody who witnessed that lineup, but I got to believe Axel's history. I mean, he's a squalor, and obviously Brian Johnson is the god of squaloring, and Bon Scott had such a unique style, but I don't think anybody could stop AC/DC runaway off the rails freight train that Angus Young creates. So I would just give him a nod of respect and say, go for it. I bet it was killer.
There you go.
All right, more with Ted Nugent coming up. We, of course, have to ask him about Trump and Hillary and what's going on. He's very outspoken there. His sex addiction, guns. I mean, there's all sorts of cool stuff to talk to Ted Nugent about. More coming next. But right now, Ted Linder has traffic.
Right now, your BAB Sunrise Toyota Long Island traffic. The LIE westbound volume building into Old Nichols Road down to Deer Park Avenue. We had an earlier accident there by 58 Old Nichols Road. That is long gone. More traffic headed in towards Queens. Sunrise Highway east.
So, Ted Nugent. Started with the Amboy Dukes and came forward and did his own thing for many, many years. And, Ted, I guess I got to ask you, because it is kind of weird for, like, now that you've been doing this so long, you know, grown men like myself saying thank you for things like Cat Scratch and Double Love Gonzo and Screen Dream. And, like, it's been part of my life since high school. And all these guys, you must hear it all the time. Is it weird to have other grown men thanking you for what you do?
No, not at all. I thank you because it is the music of, it's the soundtrack for our life. And I thank all the musicians. I've been humbled to be able to tour with the greatest bands that have ever lived. And I thank them because before I'm a musician, I'm a fan of the soul of that American, outrageous, ferocious, defiant, uppity, yet grooving rhythm and blues influenced rock and roll. So all of our lives have been enriched. I mean, I've even thanked people that hate me. I mean, I never forget
I do it all the time.
Glenn Frey. For the last 5 or 6 years of the Eagles tour would just, you know, just attack me with hate and nastiness live right from the stage. Mm. And people would ask me what I thought about it. And I go, well, if I had my brain burned that bad with drug abuse, I might say stupid stuff too. I just like to thank him for enriching our life with that incredibly soulful music. He's a fellow Detroit guy. So
yeah.
He can attack and hate me all he wants. I remember when Paul McCartney just attacked me on a radio show one time because I murder innocent animals. Well, of course I do because barbecue is so criminal. I mean, that's just brain dead. But when they asked me to respond to Paul attacking me for being, you know, a coward for shooting animals that can't shoot back, I didn't even get into the fact that deer don't have trigger fingers. I mean, I just said, well, all I would say to Paul is thank you. Thank you for enriching my life with the most amazing music mankind has ever experienced. McCartney, Lennon, what would our lives be without that? So I thank you for thanking me because it's about my bands. It's about my musicians that I've been shoulder to shoulder with for the last 50 years. And we really do try to make the best music we possibly can. So our dedication to excellence should have a payoff. And the ultimate is thanking me for that. But I got to tell you. I don't just rock and roll and order room service. I hang out with people every day. We go to the shooting range. We go to the barbecue. We go out and get coffee. We have meetings backstage every night with law enforcement and military charities and children's charities and conservation events. And people say that all the time. I've actually got hundreds of communications from families whose my song Fred Bear was played at the funeral of their loved ones, where Stranglehold was played by the Marines when they go into battle. Stranglehold was played by Kurt Gibson when he hit that bottom of the ninth home run when he was, injured.
Yeah, with the broken leg.
The stories I've heard, I'm surprised I can get my head through the damn barn door. But I know that's what that music means to people. I feel it when I play it. I see it in the eyes and the clenched fists and the happy faces. It's common sense, I think, that killer music really enriches our lives. People who dedicate themselves to make killer music, we appreciate that.
We're on the phone with the one and only Ted Nugent. Ted, you know, Ted really big into politics. Mm-hmm. How do you think this goes down in November, man?
Well, we are in the middle of a very unfortunate and rather embarrassing culture war. You know, Donald Trump is anything approaching perfect. But when you compare him to the runaway, blatant, glaring criminality and dishonesty and scamming of Hillary Clinton, and then so we lost 58,000 American warriors fighting communism, but Bernie Sanders wants to try it here? What is this, Planet of the Apes meets the Cuckoo's Nest, Clockwork Orange. I mean, who's in charge here? Alfred E. Newman? It's bizarro world. So compared to Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump is almost Michael the Archangel.
Do you get
a really believe he's the right man at the right time? He's a pragmatist. He's a utilitarian. He's an organizational, logistical guy. And if ever America needed that, it's right now. I mean, just look at the glaring violation of oaths by the president, the attorney general, and the Democrats and the Republicans. In United States of America in 2016, we will not secure our borders? Really? And we spend billions of wasted, absolute criminal tax dollars every day?
I hate when they say that because we want to secure our borders, he's racist. That drives me insane.
So we have a debate. There's actually a debate that somehow illegal activities is the same as legal activities. Why don't we apply that to banking? I mean, gentlemen, there's 100 million Americans that have either given up looking for work. I mean, but that's not even American. That's French. I mean, or a list of jobs they're not willing to do. Really? What kind of soulless punk has a list of jobs he's not willing to do, but he'll take your and my earnings?
You know, after what happened in Paris a year or so ago, I guess it's about a year ago now, right? The French president came out and said, make no mistake about it. We will find out who is responsible for this, and the price will be paid. And within 24 hours, all over the news, the French were basically storming the castle. The French were going door to door, ripping people out, and they showed their citizens that they're not going to sit back and take it.
And it's great that we acknowledge that. And I have in numerous interviews, I knocked the French because it's so easy.
Right.
But during World War II, those were some defiant, roustabout warrior sons of bitches. And they really took down some krauts and some Nazis and some punks. So I know that humans, all humans have a spark, an instinct, a natural inclination to fight evil and to knock down evil and eliminate evil. So when they get their back against the wall and all the innocent bloodshed is spread, I mean, even French people will come to the fore, and I salute them for that. They've been a great ally. I met a bunch of French warriors over in Iraq. I was in Fallujah in 2004, and there was a bunch of ass-kicking Frenchies over there, man, and I bought them a crepe.
I don't know where you come up with this stuff, but Ted Nugent is who we're talking to. More about his music, animal rights people he has opinions about. And yes, we have to get to a sex addiction too, but right now, Ted Lindner at 738 has a road.
Your BAB Sunrise Toyota, Long Island traffic on the LIE westbound. Some traffic
jam right here.
Roger, JP, 747, partly sunny, 87 today. We are in the middle of talking to Ted Nugent, who's coming to the Paramount Theater. This coming Tuesday, the 23rd. And, you know, a lot of the guys, you guys who are hunters especially, probably love Ted for his outspoken opinions. But, I mean, there's been a lot of gun stuff and all in the news. So, Ted, why don't you just give us, like, your overall view of the whole thing with guns and gun control and all that kind of stuff. Just give us your opinion on that.
Well, I won't give you an opinion. I'll give you a bunch of irrefutable dead-end brick wall stats. The president, Joe Biden, and Loretta Lynch, and Hillary Clinton, and a bunch of goofballs already have their dream. And it's a guaranteed guns banned, gun-free zone. And it's Paris. And it's Brussels. And it's San Bernardino. And it's Sandy Hook. And it's the warfare, the daily warfare, in the gun-free zone of Chicago, Illinois. Are you kidding me? There are more guns in Americans' hands today than ever any society in recorded history. And the most recent uniform crime report by the FBI and Obama's own studies that he's trying to squelch and squash, because it proves that where there's more citizens with more firepower at their disposal, i.e. keeping and bearing on their person, there is a dramatic reduction in violent crime and the use of firearms in crime, because evil people are cowards at heart and they don't go where they might get shot at. They go to San Bernardino. They go to Sandy Hook. They go to Paris. They go to Chicago. Who thinks that adding another gun law would stop any violent crime anywhere?
Do you think? Do you think, though, Ted?
More good people being ready to stop evil people. And if you really examine the outrageous conditions in our criminal world, they're all on parole. Not all of them, but the statistics from the FBI. 96% of violent crime is committed by guys who were convicted and jailed for violent crime, and they let them out. So, you know, I'm just a guitar player, but I know how to stop 96% of violent crime. Don't let them out.
But what do you think about the assault weapons? I am a firm believer in the Second Amendment. I am a firm believer in the right to carry. But do you think the average person needs it?
You mean an
AR-15? An AR-15, yeah. Like,
I'll give you some more statistics. Go to my Facebook right now. I show what an AR-15 fires. I show the .223, the 5.56 round.
Right.
And I show the average deer hunting round, a 30-06 and a .270. It's on my Facebook right now.
Which, by the way, you talked me into the 30-06. Thank you very much.
Yeah, he loved the 30-06. I have two on me right now. I get reports from all these agencies where these shootings take place, going all the way back to Columbine, Virginia Tech, and Sandy Hook, and the Fort Hood shooting. I got the diagram. I got the review, the law enforcement forensic review of the shooting.
You have your own ammo now?
I have my own Ted Nugent line of ammo. It's great, great ammo. It's quality. It's the hardest hit. And I got a bunch of mad scientists in a dungeon balancing gunpowder and projectiles. these guys are freaks, but boy, did they create some great product. But anyhow, yes, I do have my own Ted Nugent ammo, and I want the best, the most reliable, hardest-hitting, most accurate ammo in the world. That's what my guys make. But getting back to an assault weapon, first of all, an AR-15 is not an assault weapon. There is an assault weapon. It's called an M16. You hold the trigger back, and you can empty a magazine without recharging the firearm.
That's right? What makes it an assault weapon.
Yes.
Okay.
An AR-15 is a semi-automatic, one bullet per pull.
Right.
Upon studying all the shootings, including in Dallas, the most deadly weapon possible under all the circumstances. You look at Sandy Hook, Columbine, Virginia Tech. You know what would have been the deadliest weapon of all?
What?
A goose gun. A goose gun with double-aught buck, a 3-inch double-aught buck. You can't miss. And nobody's shooting back, so you got all the time in the world to reload. The whole media scam and the whole government lie about AR-15s is going to go down in history as the biggest propaganda ministry BS story ever perpetrated upon a society. Total use of rifles. All rifles combined, AR-15s, all long guns used in crime, is not even anywhere near close to how many people are killed with fists, baseball bats, and pipes. So if anybody is really trying to convince me they want to save lives, why would you go after one of the minimum uses of weaponry instead of the maximum cause of death?
Mm.
Because they're disingenuous, they're dishonest, and they're following the Saul Alinsky playbook because they want an unarmed society. If you don't get that, call 1-800-NUMBNUT, and Michael Moore will explain why personal hygiene is unnecessary.
God, I love you.
Oh, we're talking to Ted Nugent. And Ted, just so I'm clear, by a goose gun, you mean something that shoots, I guess it's like a shotgun in the way
it
shoots.
Shotgun.
Yeah. So that would be more effective in all of these shootings because it sprays and would get more people at once, but nobody's calling for the banning of shotguns.
Every instance, look at Paris. Nobody was stopping this guy. These guys reloaded and they were casual. Look at the Luby's cafeteria. This guy took like 11 minutes. He's bending over and discussing with people how he's going to kill them. I would have been there for a bowl of chili, no one but the bad guy would have died. I'd have double-tapped him center mass, given him a couple upstairs, and ordered a roll with real butter.
All right, hang on, Ted. All right, we got a couple more minutes with Ted Nugent coming up next. We'll get to, I'd like to ask him about his security. I wonder, with how outspoken he is, what it's like for him on a daily basis. And then we finally, I got to get to his sex addiction thing and the whole thing. But he's playing the Paramount this Tuesday, the 23rd. More with Ted Nugent next. Right now, Ted Lindner has traffic.
Your BAB.
102.3 WBAB, Long Island's only classic rock. Roger and JP, it's 8:03, partly sunny, 87. Got a couple minutes left to be able to talk to Ted Nugent, who's playing the Paramount this Tuesday, the 23rd. Good to have Ted on here on the radio on BAB.
Have you seen a difference in the change of security when you go in to do gigs now?
Well, I'm carrying more guns.
Right.
Not really.
Okay.
In our crew, I've got some real warriors on the road, some real operators.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these guys, by the time you got to the second L in hello, they could have your head in their hand and poop down your neck. I've got some really, really bad dudes that are on tour with me. But it's always about situational awareness. It's always about, you know, a level of awareness. My whole crew, not only is my band, Greg Smith and Jason Heartless, I mean, I got the best band in the world, but my crew is the best crew in the world. These guys, nothing gets past these guys. And I also have the greatest audiences in the world.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody ever tried anything, boy, they better be good.
Ted Nugent, do you get death threats, considering you're so outspoken about many very tough topics? I mean, is that something, you know, the Dallas police chief said he got them. After what happened in Dallas, that guy and his family got him. I'm just thinking over all the years you've been very outspoken. You must, I would think, get some?
Yeah, you just go to my Facebook. And you'll see, you know, like I said, tens of millions. I think I have 36 million. Right now I'm right around 10 million on my Facebook. And you'll see just positive, goodwill, decency, support, sharing self-evident truth, fun, cocky, positive. Then some guy will threaten to kill my children because we eat pheasant. It's indescribably evil and sick. And I've been getting these death threats since the 1960s because I've always promoted my love of hunting and conservation and the perfection of hunting, fishing, and trapping as a lifestyle and the ultimate diet. There's nothing more nutritious and environmentally friendly than killing deer and eating them. And so people who are, you know, I guess mentally deranged or just basically evil people, they've been threatening to kill me since the 1960s. And so I make sure that my itinerary is always up on my website. I don't take it personally. I take my security personally. But I'm just heartbroken that a fellow man and a fellow American would threaten to kill my children because we eat bluegills. I mean, Alfred Hitchcock wouldn't produce this movie. It's too stupid.
Ted, how many kids do you have?
I got 8 wonderful kids.
Ain't no way.
They're all so cool, it's stupid.
Any of them try to get into the music business? Or you kept
you know, my son Rocco, he goes under the name Rocco Moon. Rocco Winchester Nugent goes under the name of Rocco Moon. You can check out, I think he has a website. But he blends Motown classics with John Coltrane, his dad's music, and current hip-hop and rap music,
really?
A la Eminem and some of Kid Rock stuff. My son Rocco plays the guitar, and my grandson Caden, who's 6 years old now, he is actually playing killer guitar. So you watch for Caden Cannon. His name is Caden Cannon, my daughter Sasha's son, and he's playing guitar. So keep your eyes open for them in the future.
God, it's so weird hearing Ted Nugent talk about his grandkids. I don't know. I watch him play live. He runs around like a 20-year-old.
Ted, if
you know, I'm a lucky man. I've been clean and sober all 67.7 years, eating nothing but wild game, which is rocket fuel for the sacred temple. And plus, I'm so motivated. What Greg and Jason do to my songs every night. I mean, tomorrow night I'll be doing my 6,527th concert.
Jeez.
I went back and counted all the pool parties and sock hops and a gig at a malt shop and a guitar review in 1958 at the Detroit Fair, Michigan Fairgrounds. So I've counted them all. I'll be performing my 6,527th. Seventh concert tomorrow night, and I swear to God, getting ready to go on stage to play these amazing songs. I mean, you haven't. I know Wango Tango is fun, and Fred Bear and Stranglehold and Dog Eat Dog, and all these songs are a riot. But you should see them from my point of view. It's every gig is like my first piece of ass.
Hey, you know what?
Absolutely out of body.
You brought it up. I had watched the Behind the Music, the Ted Nugent Behind the Music years and years and years ago. And it had said that you were a sex addict. Is that true?
Well, I don't know about was.
Well, you know what?
Well, that's honest.
Have you seen Mrs. Nugent?
She looks tired.
I'm telling you, you know, sex is an enormous throttle in my life. Even at the tender age of 67 with two new knees, I don't know what destroyed my knees, jumping off the speakers or sex. But no, I mean, come on. I think when you're clean and sober, I like to think of my entire life as a purple-rimmed penis. You know how it glows sometimes?
I'm waiting to see where you're going with this one. Purple-rimmed penis. Go ahead. Gotcha.
You know how it glows? Go ahead.
Go ahead. Yeah.
You don't need to edit this stuff.
No, you're good. Go ahead. Keep going.
This is good stuff. This is all science.
Yeah.
I'm really touchy. I'm easily stimulated.
Yeah. Okay.
Whether it's music or a beautiful sunrise. This morning I was sitting out in my skippies with my two Labradors watching antelope and deer crossing our big hayfield here in Michigan, in Texas. And there was a bunch of tree ducks flying over and doves and every imaginable songbird. And I'm like getting aroused just from the cleansing of nature. And then Mrs. Nugent comes out in her robe and it's over, baby. So, yeah, I to this day, you go to my Facebook right now. Somebody posted on my Facebook yesterday a video of Cat Scratch Fever with nothing but gorgeous girls. And I'd never seen it before. I don't know where it came from. Look at this video of Cat Scratch Fever with these just insane, gorgeous, monster girls. And if you're not moved by that, you just might as well stab yourself in the heart with an ice pick.
Well, you are just awesome.
Actually, one of the videos up here from you is from Whitford St. Holmes. And they were just here. I'm looking at that video. It's right up on your page, too.
Yeah, I should do that. Yeah, I promote Derek because he's a monster talent.
Yes, sir.
Between Derek St. Holmes and Brad Whitford, now that's got to be some killer music. I know those guys were raised by the Howlin' Wolf and Muddy Waters, Bo Diddley, Chuck Berry, Little Richard, James Brown, Wilson Pickett, all things Motown. So anything Derek St. Holmes does, compounded with what Brad Whitford does, because he played all the killer, not all, but he played so many killer guitar parts with Aerosmith. I bet you that's one of the best concerts available today.
Ted Nugent, ladies and gentlemen, there he is. Thank you for the time. I mean, you know, most guys who want to be interviewed for about 4.5 minutes. And we appreciate you spending the time with us very much.
Well, you know, I love this American dream. The whole world sucks, but America still sucks less. And when we talk about the important things in life with my radio blood brothers, it don't suck at all. So I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, Ted.
All right, man.
Godspeed. Live it up.
Take care, buddy.
Live it up. Ted Nugent, 810, partly sunny and 87. And if you missed it, we'll post it a little later on today as our clip of the day. You can get it on the app and on the Roger JP page, WBAB.com.
Just wish he wasn't such a liberal.
I know. Such a liberal fancy, isn't he?
Pussy.
He'll be playing at the Paramount on the 23rd next Tuesday. Right now.